at your number one family radio.
Inspiration 92.3 FM.
It's 1 o'clock.
Inspiration 92.3 FM.
Good afternoon, Lagos. Welcome to Wellness Hour on 92.3 FM. And today we'll be speaking on diabetes. Now, Wellness Hour always focuses on the five pillars of health, which is mindset, spiritual, nutrition, lifestyle, and environment. And so today we'll be coming from the aspect of nutrition. The month of June is all about diabetes, and we've covered on type 1 diabetes, also type 2, which is adult onset, gestational, and today we'll be touching on juvenile diabetes. And in the studio today, Dr. Ijeweri is unavoidably absent. We have our pediatric nutritionist, Mrs. Ifeanyi Omesiete.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, on juvenile diabetes, can you just break that down in simple terms?
Okay. Juvenile really just means people who have not been identified as adults or not seen as legal adults. So usually that would be from 18 downwards. And then, as we all know, diabetes has to do with uncontrolled blood sugar, uncontrolled glucose levels in the body. So, combining the two together, we're just talking about uncontrolled glucose or uncontrolled sugar levels in children.
And under the children diabetes or juvenile diabetes, some of the things to look out for, because I think parents are not quite in tune, but they need to think about things like if they have a family history of diabetes, whether it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and then what are the other factors to look out for?
Okay, so apart from family history, I also think that it's really important that people pay attention to their children's size. That doesn't seem to be a topic that we like to discuss when it comes to children. In fact, what I've seen in this past year, actually, is a lot of children who are on the very heavy side. And most of their parents are also on the very heavy side. And most of the time, the excuse that the parents give is they'll lose the weight. Forgetting that when you tie in things like your family history, and then being obese or being overweight, especially for children, it's already predisposes them to have diabetes amongst other chronic diseases, but especially diabetes, because there's a lot of sugar and a lot of foods that contain that are high in sugar and high in carbs, especially in a place like Nigeria, where majority or at least 50% of our diets is heavy on carbohydrates. So I think it's important that parents begin to pay attention to the size of their children. Also pay attention to how their children interact when they're doing physical activities. Usually when I ask parents, okay, what's your child's physical activity? The response is always, my child is very active. My child likes to do this. My child likes to do that. Being physically active is not defined by your child just being active. Mm-hmm. Children by default are active. They're explorers, they're curious, they want to find out what's going on in the world. When they reach a certain age, they want to feel that they're independent. Mm-hmm. That doesn't define being physically active. Physically active means that aside from just the regular jumping that children do, engaging in activities where they are burning the calories that they're ingesting.
So let me just pause you for a moment so we can go back to the food part of it. So I know that in our society, maybe 10 years ago, we didn't have so many restaurants popping up. Mm-hmm. But right now, on every corner, you have a lot of restaurants.
Yes.
And so could that be adding to the epidemic that we're facing right now? Because it's truly an epidemic.
Yes. So I was having a conversation earlier this week, and the topic of the conversation was there's almost 100% more food than there was 20 years ago. Now, whether it's real food and whether it's food that we really should be eating, that's questionable. But there's just more food. Mm-hmm. So whenever people talk about, oh, we have food insecurities, or there's nowhere to get food and not enough people, we have an excess of food. The problem is that we're no longer eating nutrient-dense foods. We're now just eating anything that we walk across. So when you even talk about opening of restaurants, there are 501 restaurants all around mm-hmm. the place. A lot of the times, people don't even eat dinner at home anymore, don't eat lunch at home anymore, don't even eat breakfast at home anymore. Most right. of the things are takeout. So when you are not in control of what you're eating, and because we're also trying to be economical, you always want to go for larger portions, so you don't always have to buy more. Mm-hmm. Forgetting that buying the larger portions, just because you're buying it for the family, doesn't mean everybody has to finish it.
Right.
So the portions have increased, the family size hasn't increased, number of people hasn't increased, so it just means people are eating more. Now, why there is currently an epidemic of children who are obese or children who are overweight is because we are ignoring the signs of feeding children nutrient-dense versus just feeding.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be able to decipher the difference between the two so that we don't end up with cases of diabetes. Because now children are getting diabetes as young
much
as
six. Earlier, yes.
We're not thinking about, oh, you wait till you're an adult or a teenager, and it's not type 1 diabetes, which
right.
usually you'd be born with. It's ones that are induced by diet or health issues.
Right. Really scary.
Very.
And so if a regular parent just decides, because remember, parents, you all are the ones in control. The child isn't. So it's us even enabling that behavior, whether it's I don't want to cook or give me pizza. I know the other day I had my son say, how does the cheese in the supermarket cost that amount versus the cheese on a pizza? Right.
That's a really good question.
Right. And so, I was like, is that truly real?
So, I mean, we could go on and on about what is really in the restaurants. But I think, again, it's really important that as parents, we begin to take back the control.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation again last week with a patient, and her concern was, so I'm going to have to make the meals at home? I was like, so having to come to me means there is a problem. So if your difficulty is the fact that you feel that now I'm stressing you, or you're going to have more work because you have to make meals at home, you haven't gotten to the point where you need help.
Mm-hmm.
You're still in a state of denial. But what is happening to your child is not going to get any better. And whatever kinds of medication that you continuously give is just going to become a lifestyle
mm-hmm.
versus giving medication to stop a situation. It becomes medication for forever. So I think we need to get to a space where we understand that what you eat makes a big difference in how your body responds to being able to you know, fully be able to do what it needs to do as the human body, especially for children. So we need to be able to start cooking more at home. We need to be able to also mind how we cook and also look at the portions that we're feeding the household.
So planning a meal schedule involving the children, having them read ingredients, making it be fun.
Yes.
And that planning ahead helps you so that at least the meals are, whether it's already half prepared, so all you have to do is throw in a couple extra ingredients and then...
And then have a meal for the family. And I also want to touch again on the portions. We have this ideology that if a child likes to eat, you keep feeding. For every age bracket, there is a quantity that is a limit for that child. They will still get what they need to get from the food. We just have to understand that a six-year-old shouldn't be able to eat two bowls of food versus the same quantity a 12-year-old should be able to eat that's overfeeding. And
so I think one of the things that causes that overfeeding can be some of the ingredients that are in the processed foods that cause just like an excitement in the brain and makes you not even recognize that satiety, that, okay, I'm full. That button is just not turned off.
That is one. And then the other thing is, because we forget that, for example, when parents complain about their children not wanting to eat food or not wanting to finish their food, we forget that for children, picky eating or not wanting to always finish a meal is really normal for, you know, for example, the ages between 1 and 5. What really the focus should be is, how much nutrients can I get into 5 spoons of a meal that you would decide to eat, so that I'm sure that every time you eat 5 spoons or 3 spoons versus a whole bowl, you're getting something that will keep you nourished and help you grow. So aside from, you know, using processed ingredients, we tend to overstimulate the body. And overstimulating the body means you're overstimulating the mind. And when you do overstimulation for the mind, our bodies adapt to that overstimulation and deem it as normal. So what tends to begin to happen is, if you had a gauge of 50, your gauge now becomes 100. And really, it should have stayed at 50. But because you've pushed and pushed and pushed, now your brain is saying, well, I'm not full of 50 where I really should have been. Now it's at 100.
Right. And listeners, this is what happens to adults. And so I have a few patients who have said, well, when I was young, I had to clean my whole plate. And so I feel like any food that comes in front of me, I need to finish it. So you're teaching the basics from a young age. It's important that you pay attention to the plate, the size, and gauge it from there, along with creating balance.
Yes.
Right. So the next aspect that you spoke about, exercise. So if, for example, you're on a team of football players and your son is always the goalkeeper, or whether he decides that, mom, I just want to be the goalkeeper. Does a goalkeeper move much?
I think it's also important that you begin to ask questions about your children's extracurricular activities. You pay so much for them, your children might be in 2 or 3 or 4. Just the same way you ask about their academics, ask the same questions about their extracurricular activities, especially when those extracurricular activities are activities that is supposed to get their whole bodies moving.
Right.
I've had a number of times people will come and say, my kids are doing swimming, they're doing taekwondo, they're doing this. And I'm like, you can't afford to be doing all those things. And we're here with a child that's on the big side. You need to ask more specific questions. Swimming is an hour. Are you really in the pool swimming for an hour or just splashing around the water?
Right.
You're playing football. Do you get picked every time, or are you sitting on the bench on the football field? You're doing ballet. Do you just stand and hold the pole, or are you actually doing the splits and the spins and turning around and dancing for the hour? Those are the questions that you really should be asking. Don't feel comfortable when your children don't participate in, you know, end of school events, or when they call out for sports day and then your child is the one holding the flag. You really should be asking more specific questions as, oh, why doesn't my child like to do this? Why don't they like to do that? If it's something that your child doesn't like, then let's switch to something that they do, but not overloading the child in different extracurricular activities and then they come home and say, yeah, I just like to be at the goalpost because I don't really have to move. That's really what they're saying, but that's not what you're asking.
So truly, Miss Ify, you're saying a lot about activity, and this also means parents, remember, we're the ones in charge. What happens at home with chores? When your child comes home, do they just sit down and play the video game? Because, I mean, remember, we're the ones who bought the video game for them,
right,
along with the iPad and etc. Are they just sitting down? This sitting all the time also contributes to the juvenile diabetes or the high blood sugar.
Yes. So it's really important that the body is designed to move. You have to keep the body moving. And the older you get, the slower it gets. So really you want to capitalize on the younger age, which is, again, the juvenile age between 18 and below. You really want to make sure that during that period, you're really burning, you know, your calories, you're really moving around. Yes, it's okay sometimes to sit and play a video game, but there should be a time limit. Ride a bike, walk around, you know, your home.
Even skipping.
They're skipping. As long as there's something to do that gets you to move, going up and down the stairs. Hey, sometimes you might say, I left the bag downstairs, go get it. And then they go. I used to find it really annoying where I could be downstairs and my dad would be upstairs and then he would call me to come and get the remote that he was sitting next to.
Right.
Now I think I'm still upset, but I think I understand it better now, because today the TVs are in the rooms of your children and you have your own TV in your room. So no one's really sending anyone anywhere to get anything. At the most, it's like you would call with your phone because now your children have their own phones. So there's not a lot of moving anymore. Yes. We need to be able to start moving again. We saw those things as annoying, but now we're seeing a big difference, one in the size of children and the kind of diseases that children get.
Right. Now, another thing regarding children's snacks. So when they go to school, I'm assuming it's snacks that are packed or lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But I know snacks that are convenient, and before you know it, those snacks just become a norm.
Okay, so snacking needs to also be regarded as a meal. It shouldn't just be seen as... So the two are interchangeable. Nothing really has a fixed title. It's just really what you deem it to be. So for example, if you have a child that likes to eat pizza, there's that for some people is regarded as a treat. Did you know that you could make that a meal at home? It's just by the difference in ingredients that you use. So your child can still go outside and say, oh yes, they let me have pizza every day, and look very different than a child who has to buy, you know, fast food pizza all the time. It's really about the ingredients.
So you're saying cooking home.
Yes, okay. Cooking home. But again, you know, being able to know that a snack doesn't have to be 3 packs of biscuits with juice.
Right.
A snack could be a healthy cookie and a nice cup of yogurt. Mm-hmm. A snack could be, you know, a wrap of some sort. So, you know, even with the biscuits, it could be half of the size of the biscuit along with something else, maybe nuts or seeds. It could really be a variety of things. It doesn't always have to be what is deemed to be the, you know, for example, like in the snack aisle, or items that you have to buy that is supposed to not be filling, right, but they're, you know, supposed to be the snack. And then your child prefers those all the time versus actually eating proper food. And then we result in the situations that we have today.
So I think at this point, just hearing from our listeners as to what they're experiencing, especially regarding their children, their weight, anything that they're concerned about regarding food. Are they even drinking water? Because that's something that's important as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can give us a call on 0700-923-923-923 or WhatsApp us on 0817-313-6193. So, Miss Iffy,
yes,
anything else you want to add regarding juvenile diabetes?
So apart from watching your child's weight, which is one of the signs, I also think it's important that you pay attention to when your child goes to the bathroom. So those are one of the symptoms that are used for adults, but you could also use that for your children. If your child can't hold their pee for too long, you want to evaluate their bladder, one, but two, the frequency. If your child doesn't really drink as much water,
mm-hmm,
and has to go to the bathroom 5 times in 1 hour, that's something you'd want to be concerned about. If your child can't sleep at night because they're uncomfortable and can't tell you what's making them uncomfortable, that's something you'd want to evaluate. When your body is overloaded with sugar, it makes it hard for the body to continue its normal cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So sleeping becomes an issue. Being able to go to the bathroom becomes an issue. Your body is basically feels like it needs to be excreting all the time because, right, of the high levels of concentration of sugar that's in there. And then aside from those three, again, I think the most important, again, is to evaluate what the household is eating. I've seen so many times people talk about weight loss for adults. Oh, I want to lose 10 kg. Oh, I should lose 10 kg. And then you focus and start eating your vegetables and start eating your fruits and then let your kids still keep eating what they like. So really, it should be incorporated into the home.
So the whole family is on board.
Yes. Everyone should be on board. It shouldn't be, oh, yeah.
That's mommy's food that's daddy's food.
Exactly. Everyone should be on the same page of what, you know, the healthy options that you have or the healthy decision that you have chosen to make for yourself. It should be a collective for the whole family. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they might see it as boring. But like I said, finding ways to incorporate it to make sure, making sure that your children are able to eat those meals and enjoy it as well as you will even make your weight loss journey easier.
Mm-hmm. I had a patient who said she went into the bathroom and saw some ants trailing kind of urine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to kind of detect or just pay attention as to what's going on in the home. Just keep your eyes open.
And then the color of the urine, again, also matters. A child is not going to like or have an affinity for water if there's always another option. Other options should be limited to a certain number during the week or a certain number during the day. Because when I would like to drink juice and you say pick between juice and water, even I as an adult, I'd pick juice. So presenting it at a limit and then, you know, making sure that water is always available, especially in this hot weather, when it's not raining.
And is the juice homemade juice or is it boxed juice?
That's a whole different discussion now. We don't even know if it's homemade. You don't even know if it's boxed. And then even with the homemade, we always tend to pick the fruits that are always sweet.
Okay. Good afternoon, sir. Welcome to Wellness Half Hour.
Yeah, this is Adegoke on the line from Lekki.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, kudos to your guest there. I know I just joined not long ago.
Great.
And I've heard a whole lot, as in a mouthful or a handful. Yeah, I don't know what's her name, please. And what?
My name is Ify, Mrs. Ify Omesiete.
Okay, oh. I guess you are into children.
Yes, I'm a pediatric nutritionist. Yes.
Okay, nice. So my question basically is, I know that normally when generally people don't eat, when you urinate, the color or when you're fasting, the color is like yellowish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So basically, does it mean that when somebody is eating normally and the color of the urine is yellowish, is it a cause for concern?
So your urine would usually be yellow for one of two things: either the kind of medication that you have to take, or you're not drinking enough water. Urine is the body's way of removing toxins from the body. So if your urine is always yellow, it means you're not drinking enough water, or you're on certain medications that's causing your body to absorb more water because it feels that it doesn't have enough. So it's really important that when you've noticed over a period of time that the urine is, you know, consistently yellow or dark yellow, it means that you're not drinking enough water or your medication might be causing it. Now, if it's the medication, it means you have to match it with water. So drinking more water when you take medication, using mostly water to take medication, and just round the clock being able to drink. A normal adult is supposed to have between 2.5 to 3 liters of water a day, and that's the least amount. So if you're not drinking enough of that every day, more than likely your urine is going to be yellow.
But I'm someone that over the years I've been like, okay, diagnosed, I have a small bladder, you know.
Okay.
And if I drink much water, I just keep going to the toilet like frequently. And maybe I want to go out that day. That may be an issue, you know, in the car, and it's really heavy on me, and there's traffic.
Yeah,
you know, that may be an issue. So I don't know what advice you give.
So there's also a way to drink water. When you're consuming water, you want to take it as just sipping, not gulping it down. If you gulp it down, then of course it will be excreted in less than 10 minutes. But if you take your time, nurse that water, drink it slowly, then the body usually absorbs it without you going to the bathroom immediately.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. So our number is 0700-923-923-923, or you can WhatsApp us on 0817-313-6193. And we're speaking about juvenile diabetes. Okay. So we have on Wellness Hour, I know Dr. Ijeweri said we're having he wants to sponsor a challenge that's coming up. We did this challenge 2 weeks ago. That's a diabetic challenge. And the diabetic challenge basically is helping the person who joins with what to eat each day in order to control their blood sugar. So if you have uncontrolled diabetes, you are concerned about whether this can be managed properly or reversed or into a better state of blood sugar numbers, you can join the challenge. Dr. Ijeweri said he will sponsor 5 people on Wellness Hour. And so in order to sponsor, good afternoon. Welcome to Wellness Half Hour.
No, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
My name is Olusegun.
Welcome, sir. Yes.
Yeah, I want to make an inquiry.
Okay.
For a girl of 9 to 10 years that is having this, call it a gravitar tone, that's what somebody said, and is not always, doesn't always want to eat, what can we do about that? Because I've gone to several hospitals, like there's no anything we can do about that.
Sorry, sir, you said she has what?
In her tongue, that is what we call the gravitar tongue. So
okay.
She's not ready to eat at any particular time. So it's like we're always forcing her to eat.
Okay. So you can call us on 0809-116-4455, and the pediatric nutritionist will speak to you. 0809-116-4455. And to join the diabetic challenge, you will also call that number 0809, send a text 116-4455. Wellness Hour will sponsor 5 people. You will also join our Instagram page on Wellness Hour in order to be part of the diabetic challenge.
All right.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, Mrs. Omesiete, for being
on having me.
Wellness Half Hour. Thank you.
Your family. Inspiration. Inspiration 92.3 FM. Your number one.
Your number one.
Family radio.
Join Tito Marciano on the CEO Academy Power Monday show and shine new light on your business. Unleash your entrepreneurship potentials with business mogul Marciano on the Power Monday show. Inspiring, educating, motivating, the CEO Academy Power Monday show helps you own your own business empire and live your best life. The CEO Academy, empowering Nigerian entrepreneurs. Coming soon on 92.3 Inspiration FM every Monday from 11:50 to 12 noon.
This is a public service announcement. Say no to suicide.
Hi everyone, my name is Kafayat, aka Catch the Fire, and you all will agree that suicide in Nigeria has skyrocketed at an alarming rate over the years, and a lot of people are offing themselves and killing themselves, and we ask ourselves why. We need to take depression seriously. We need to take mental health seriously. People don't think it's a big deal. A lot of people just shove it aside and don't take people who are actually going through this seriously and think maybe it's because they're weak or not. We need to know depression is real.
Depression is real, real.
People are actually going through it out there, and we need to help them. We need to be there for them. We need to let them know that this life is worth living, that they shouldn't give up, that they are loved, they are appreciated. All they need sometimes is just a listening ear, someone to talk to them, to be there for them, to let them know that they are loved, and let them know that everything is going to be all right. My name is Kafayat Bakare, aka Catch the Fire, and I just want to say I love you.
I love you.
life is worth living.
Life is worth living. That's why we make it more intriguing. Inspiration FM 92.3.
Life is worth living again.
Yo, what's up?
Baby, let's go.
Live. Live.
Good afternoon. Sing It With Music today takes on a very different form because we are renewing the African mindset in the eyes of Anne Fumi Fatusi, who is based in UK, London, UK, but currently visiting in Nigeria. And we thought this is the season of wellness, mental alertness, mental wellness, mindset, and all of that. Of course, you know, yours truly has been pushing around with his wife all over the country. In fact, Betty Rabo is in Port Harcourt trying to get back now, pushing the mindset and mental wellness. Here is somebody also renewing the African mindset and says, look at issues that affect the African diaspora. Explore ways to acculturate the African mindset in Western host countries without losing the African identity. It's interesting. So, Fumi Fatusi is my guest on Singing With Music this morning. Welcome. This afternoon. Welcome.